Welcome to Connecting with the Toms podcast. I'm Julie, a trauma-informed movement coach.
I'm Dr. Tom, a biological physician and former dentist. We'll share something we hope that is different and exciting today, and hopefully you'll be willing and wanting to share that with family and friends, because our goal is to have a spontaneous conversation that is both enlightening, entertaining, and enjoyable.
If this is your first time here, welcome. It's all about connecting with you, yourself, and your nervous system. So we hope you enjoy.
Yeah.
And today we're going to dive into the world of self-sabotage, or someone, if you're someone that's struggling with motivation, you know what you need to do, but you're not motivated, and you're like, what is happening in my body? I want to take a step back. I want to tell you a story about a couple of weekends ago. I actually had the privilege of taking part of my dad's main protocol seminar. And truth be told, I did not know what my dad did really for a living. I know he's a biological doctor, you know, he's a naturopath. I've been doing it, you know, half of my life. But what I realized is what he's doing is really helping people tap into their emotions. And really, he's a really good listener, and he's really tuning in to what are the trapped emotions that are keeping people sick. And he works with a lot of sick people. Like some of the case studies that he brought up, there are some people that are really struggling with some major, major ailments. And these people want help. And even if you're not that person that's chronically sick, or, you know, you have a few ailments here or there and whatnot, but you know you need to do, you know, the basic treatment guidelines. You know you need to drink your water, you need to eat healthy, you need to exercise, you know, all the things that we talk about in all our previous podcasts, but you're stuck. What is holding you back? And that's a big piece of my dad's brain protocol, is help understand there are trapped emotions in your body. And those trapped emotions are really what's holding you back in life. And that's what's sabotaging you. So Dad, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about your experience with patients who struggle with motivation.
This is probably the most common issue that happens with every single person who goes, certainly to somebody beyond maybe just, you know, have an acute injury or whatever. And you know, initially people have, you know, a chief complaint of why they go and see their physician. And the physician, you know, has a discussion and says, do this, do that. And they do it for a period of time. And then they start to feel better. And then, of course, they immediately stop. And they stop because they think they're better, only to realize that in a few weeks or months or whatever, all the problems that they have been experienced have all come back. And then they actually start looking for another physician who they hope would give them something easier to do so that they don't have to keep doing it. So we know that change is the hardest thing for any person to do, is to change what they presently have been doing with the idea and the hope that nothing has to be different, but somehow the outcome will be different. And so motivation, I have found with people, is a lot of rah-rah. It is, you know, as the coach, as the mentor, as the guide, you have to keep encouraging people so that they truly understand what our long-term goal is. And that's to help them achieve what we're calling their optimal level of performance. And once these people start to allow to achieve that, and typically I have found it's a thing that takes 3 to 6 months consistently. So you do things such as the basic treatment guidelines, but you don't even think about them. They're just part of what you do. You know, you get up every morning, you eat meals every day, you go to bed every night, you know, you move your body. You don't think about it because it's just what you do. So, you know, the couple of other things that have become part of the basic treatment guidelines are then encouraging the aspect of how do we start addressing these, we're going to call them traumas is the word we're going to use, that are hidden. They're deeply buried in the unconscious, and no amount of conscious thought can actually allow you to tap into your unconscious without some form of, I'll say, intervention. The intervention that we're using, of course, are energetic therapies. And energetic therapies have the opportunity and the ability to start to tap into unconsciousness. And while doing the so-called protocol, people start to have these revelations, things that they had never, didn't even have a thought that it could have possibly been in their mind. But as these things start to unravel, they start to appreciate and understand, you know, why they say, why they talk the way they do, why they have the beliefs that they do. you know, the word that I use is learned perceptions. And those learned perceptions start at a time, you know, preconception. It started with grandparents and great grandparents. And these are the types of things that, you know, now that we have a, you know, 23andMe and ancestry and all that, we look at genetics, but what we're really talking about, of course, is epigenetics and how we modify our, well, how, what it is that we do, and is it possible to change it long after the fact? And the reality now is we know it is indeed possible. So how do you motivate somebody as you keep allowing them to appreciate that there are underlying factors that they may not even yet be aware of? And so by conversation, by using energetic therapies, we're able to start to uncover those particular issues, which will then release from the body. We can definitely say from chakra points for the most point, because that's where they get stuck, it seems like, depending which chakra point is involved, will pretty much decide which organ is being involved, because each of the chakras are associated with different organs. And so the challenge that motivates or doesn't motivate people is that it takes a long time. I make no excuse for the fact that we're talking something that's months, years, maybe even decades for some people to be able to get past that. But, you know, if you keep thinking about the future or have some aspect of the future, you know, where do you want to be in 10 years from now? Where do you want to be in 15 years from now or 20, depending how old you are in general? And so our goal is to help allowing people to do self-care, because self-care is ultimately the most important thing that they will do. And that doesn't mean that, you know, if you're not 100% perfect, this thing's not going to work. You know, I tell people, you know, if you do an 80-20 rule, 80-20 rule will definitely help you get to where you need to be. And, you know, you go on vacation and you, you know, don't do X, Y, Z because you're on vacation. Wonderful. But, you know, when you're back in your routine of at home and school or work and, you know, and with your family, that routine is now not something, it's not a chore. It's what, how you do, you know, the word diet doesn't mean you go on a diet to lose weight. Diet is simply the foods that you choose to eat. You can choose to eat, you know, processed food, or you can choose to eat foods that are actually more wholesome and nourishing. That's a choice. And, you know, sometimes you'll, you know, eat something, you know, off what is your temperament diet, which is the ideal diet for everybody in general. So we have to look at those types of features and factors to keep people motivated. And I think another aspect of motivation is you can't do it by yourself. You really need a coach. You really need somebody who, you know, to check in with, if you like, which is, you know, basically in my case, it's me as the practitioner. So, you know, we see people, you know, what sometimes it's, you know, once a month or 6 weeks or 2 months, and as they feel better, maybe it's 3 or 4 times a year or once a year. But we stay in touch. And the longer you stay in touch, the easier it is to keep reminding people and supporting people what their goal is and how we can ultimately help them get to their level of optimal performance.
Accountability matters. Like, I mean, the research has been there for lots of years. That, I mean, even like I remember reading a whole bunch of different articles in terms of like fitness and movement, that even as a personal trainer where I started, that if I'm working with a client and I'm like coaching them, I'll get best results. But even if I'm just in the same, so like in my studio, if I'm just there and I don't say a word, they're going to perform better than if they just did the workout on their own. So I know a lot of people love to use their apps and all that kind of stuff, but accountability matters. But I want to circle back to, like, when we talk about motivation or lack of or self-sabotage, we have to recognize that that's a state that you're, it's a state where your body doesn't feel safe. If you're not motivated, it's because something in your body is protecting you. And as long as you're in a state of protection, you're not going to be able to connect with the pieces that you need to get you moving forward. So I have a client that I've been working with for a few months now, and she wants to heal. She wants to release trapped emotions. She knows her trauma. She's fully, they're very conscious. She's very aware of them, but she still is afraid. There's still fear of when she does the thing of what it's going to do. Because in the past, like I'm working with her on movement and whatnot, there are some movements that she does and her body freezes or her body doesn't feel good. So she's afraid of doing some movements that may hurt her in a way. It's not really hurting her, but in her mind, in her nervous system, it's hurting her. So what we have to do is really start the process. If you're someone who's like, yeah, I self-sab, like I eat, you know, whenever I feel guilt or shame or abandonment or I don't know, any of the big words like loneliness, what do we typically do? Most humans do is they eat, they drink, they smoke pot, they do something. We cope in some way, shape, or form. And so what we really need to understand is what we have to name those emotions. And that's what we're not doing, is we're not getting to know, befriending our nervous systems. And that's where during the pandemic, my entire business and my entire career completely shifted, because I realized that emotions were a huge piece of the puzzle. But we really have to tune into what are the emotions that are stopping us. And as my dad just said, like epigenetics is a real thing. Like, you know, in his book, he talks about like, it goes back, what was it, 7 generations that you could find the research for? Is that right?
Yes, actually so, 11, 15. And then there's somewhere in there, there's 85 generations, but I couldn't find that research, but I read it somewhere right in the past.
So basically you are, you know, you're a product, your DNA is holding on to emotion. So Dr. Bradley Nelson talks about in his book, The Emotion Code, how he talks about the same thing, but the different, like the one thing in the book that I've read so far, I may be wrong, I haven't read it completely yet, but one part that he hasn't really addressed is that if you're in a state of protection, your body's not going to get the result that you're looking for. And so even with the accountability, what you're looking for in that accountability is you want to find somebody you feel safe with. Because even if you're like hiring somebody, a doctor, a coach, you know, your friend, if you feel safe with them, your nervous system will keep you in a state of protection. And I think this is really important for you to really note, is like, you know, I have an accountability coach, but I'm not, you know, I'm not really understanding and I'm not getting the results I want. Well, let's take a look at safety. I use the word safety, you know, as a general term. It could be a different term for you, but at the end of the day, we have to start bringing awareness to what are the emotions that are existing in my body. And that's why I created my masterclass, Start Befriending Your Nervous System, how to start connecting to your body, because your body does not lie. And like my dad and I were talking about chatting before recording this, and we're talking about how certain, like one of his patients, well, actually you want to tell this, and I'll tell my story. What happened with your patient the other day?
So she, this is a woman who has had, you know, pretty significant, and before I say that, I just, you know, comment on, you know, something you said, the woman you said that your client is that she knows her traumas. My experience is those are the tip of the iceberg. The reason that the ones that are in one's consciousness are because they're evident. However, the number of traumas that people actually that laid the foundation of why that, whatever that specific event was is the one that's remembered, is because there's a whole series of small traumas that laid the groundwork of these learned perceptions that the person sort of started to believe certain things. And that's the stuff that starts to get uncovered. And then you start to realize, oh, that big trauma was not as significant as one may have thought. It's obviously significant in general. But anyway, the one that Julie's referring to, that I actually talk about in the Brain Protocol seminar, which by the way is available for those who weren't able to attend it a few weeks ago. It is available online on my website, drdixontom.com, and you can actually download it and listen to it and do the entire seminar, gain pretty valuable information about how you can start to look at potentially some of your own traumas. Anyway, one of the cases that I talked about during the course was a patient I worked with for quite a few years, and she was at a time that she was having intercourse with a friend. And in the middle of it, she totally froze, she panicked, she became totally paralyzed, because in her mind, she wasn't her friend, she saw her stepfather. And she had zero memory of that through her entire 40 some years of her life, did not know that existed. But in the course of, you know, the work that we've been doing, that realization came out, and it's one of those, oh my God, I've been living with this my whole life, and I never knew it, type thing. these are the types of things that get hidden. These are the things that are under the surface. These are the things that I've experienced the last 25 years. I've dealt with this type of work that people have told me over and over and over with zero realization that anything like that happens, because you can't use your conscious mind to uncover the unconscious. It takes work, and it takes, in my case, energetics to allow that to happen.
Agreed. And like a big part of the thing that you talked about in your seminar is the triune brain. So if you're not familiar with the triune brain, it's basically we have three, the way the brain developed. We have a reptilian brain. We all come from reptiles. And then from there, we evolved to have a mammalian brain. And then from there, we've evolved to have this neocortex. So the thing is, I get what my dad's saying. Okay. So I'm like, I hear you, Dad. I hear you. We have to basically tap into the unconscious to be able to heal the traumas. Okay. The problem is, a lot of us need somewhere to start. So the thing is, where are we going to start? And at the end of the day, like, how do I start this process? Because we both know, like, doing this work for a while now, we both know, A, you can't do it alone, but B, finding someone that's safe enough to do it. And then C, it's really understanding, like laying the terrain, as you like to say, and understanding what parts of the brain are we doing. So most of us, when we're trying to heal, like I work with lots and lots of people now who have been healing, you know, in air quotes or whatever, have been working on healing themselves and recognize that they have trauma in their body, and they do the work. They're doing the stuff, right? So they're doing their meditations, and they're doing all the basic treatment guidelines, and they're seeing a therapist, and they're still stuck in some way, shape, or form, right? There's still some healing. And the problem is, you know, a lot of times, like the way I look at healing now, it's very much stuck in the neocortex. They do what's called a top-down approach. They start in the brain, you know, like we're gonna analyze this, and we're gonna come at this with a plan of action, and this is how we're gonna do it. It's like, you know, in the gym, I wanna be able to deadlift 500 pounds. Great. Well, we're gonna come up with a plan, we're gonna periodize it, and we're gonna go, you know, this is how we're gonna plan it out. This is very, very neocortex. Okay. However, trauma doesn't work that way. It's not in the neocortex. Trauma occurs more in the reptilian brain and the mammalian brain. And that's why we work on senses. And we want to work on, like my dad says, energetics. For me, I call it your senses. Really, you know, like understanding that your olfactory nerve, senses, they can literally trigger different traumas. So I've read a couple different books, and I think it's When the Body Says No, Bessender Kolk. I think it's the one. I might be wrong. I've read so many books on this stuff, but he basically talks about a young man who was basically abused. He's a teenager at this point. He was abused by his father most of his life, and he was going to meet some potential adoptive parents. Sitting in an office, he's doing really well, and they sit across from the people, and he completely lashes out. He freaks out, and like nothing happened. The parents just sat down, and the kid just freaks out, and they're like, "What just happened?" Nobody knows. He's like, "I don't know what just came over me." And then what we come to find out, the reason, like the whoever was with him, might be a different book. Anyway, whatever. I think it might be Dr. Bruce Perry. But anyway, what happened was is that the gentleman was wearing the same cologne that his dad used to wear. And that triggered him. The olfactory nerve, it was like, boom. And it brought him back to that place of him being abused by his father. So our senses help us feel safe. And our senses is how we start befriending that nervous system. And that's really like with the brain protocol, my dad takes you through, or my dad or whoever you're going to work with is going to take you through these different phases to help you understand the different layers of your brain, like from the triune brain, the reptilian part, the mammalian part, and the neocortex. But the problem that with when people are healing is they come at it from a different direction. They start from a top down approach where what I do for a living now, it's very much a bottom-up approach. We go from the body, we go from that reptilian brain, and we work our way up. But the problem is, where do you start when you don't have the support? So if you're that person, you're like, I want to start healing. I have trapped emotions. I have things, you know, floating around in my body. I know something happened. I don't know what happened, but I know something happened because I have chronic. Like, how do you know something happened? You have some type of chronic pain, yeah? That would probably be a good sign. Got some kind of IBS, you got some kind of any kind like autoimmune something, you got asthma, you got, you know, eczema, you got, you know, like you have brain fog, cognitive decline, all these type of things. There's so many different symptoms of the body, A, not feeling safe, but B, trying to tell us we're not communicating with it, and we try to override it with our front brain. So what we want to do is, if you need to get started, start with the front brain. But there are some specific things that you can do. Use your front brain to start befriending your nervous system and understand what are the emotions that you're feeling day to day. So, and the problem is a lot of us don't do that. So if you want to learn how, take my masterclass, because I'll show you how. Because it's all tuning into the sensations. Really, at the end of the day, I show you, like, I take 5 classes and I show you step by step on how to start using the language. So we go from that, you know, front brain to the mammalian brain and understand the language of what is your nervous system doing. Because if you're someone that you're like, I want to do this brain protocol, it's going to help me. It's going to heal your trauma straight up. Right, Dad? It's going to heal you.
That's the goal.
Right. We're going to reset your nervous system. So everybody, at the end of the day, if you've been traumatized, if you have PTSD, not even, if you have chronic ailments, if you have fibromyalgia, all these different issues, joint pain, osteoporosis, all these kind of things, what we can do is help reset your nervous system. That's the goal, right?
Yes. And I just want to reiterate something that, you know, that's coming up, that some people listening may say, well, that's, I've never been abused. I've never had this or that. A lot of trauma that my patients have experienced are, relatively speaking, minor. But it's not minor when you're 1 month old or 6 months old or 3 years old or 9 years old. At that point, because we don't have a brain that has matured and developed and doesn't really understand what's happening, something that you see, something that you witness, can be tremendously impactful. And we've been able to trace these types of everyday, I'll call them everyday events, and more so than trauma, to chronic disease. And since people typically don't experience their chronic disease until their 40s or 50s, they don't see any potential relevance to something that may have happened when they were 4 or 7 or 15, for that matter. But when you trace it back and do, as you just said, from the bottom up, you start to understand and appreciate, you know, that these everyday things that became part of your learned perception of how you respond in certain circumstances, just like you just mentioned with the smell, you know, in my book, I talk about a couple of cases similar to that, where somebody is triggered by, you know, a color. I talked about the seminar, the woman who actually experienced her own delivery, you know, her own birth, and had an aversion to a color and a smell her whole life without knowing why, until it came to the realization that, you know, she was an unwanted child. Her mother, you know, wasn't very kind to her, et cetera. So she had a very traumatic so-called childhood. But, you know, when you come into a world and that's your exposure, that was with her in the 60 years or so that it took for her to realize that it really is nothing to be concerned about. So it's everyday type things. And so, you know, people say, well, I don't need to do that because none of that, my childhood was Pollyanna. Everything was great. We ate 3 meals a day. You know, my mom cooked every meal and I exercised and I was in every sport. It was wonderful, you know, and that's great. However, we do know that these things that people experience can add up. And it's not a single event, one or two, maybe 10 things that happen that are relatively minor, but can have this significant impact. And since my entire medical career has been treating chronic illness, it's become very clear that the cure of a chronic illness isn't taking the right medication or the right homeopathic necessarily, or doing the right acupuncture, or, you know, taking something. It's actually about doing something, which is back to the whole idea of this motivation. How do you empower, motivate, and inspire people to stay on the track so that they live every day at their optimal performance? And, you know, no matter what is happening in their life, they look on the glass half full as opposed to the glass half empty model of things.
Well, the word that caught me on your statement there is the doing. So in my world, doing is what gets us in trouble. Because I'm like, I'm totally that person. Like when I basically had my nervous breakdown in my 20s, I was like, when I was waking up with pus coming out of my eyeballs and my body, I had like friggin' hives. I had eczema all over my body. You know, my body's screaming at me, and I'm like, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm a strong person. I got this. I'm going to do it. And my body's like, yo, no, you're not. And so I did all the things. Like, I went to every appointment. I did the acupuncture. Like, you all know who my dad is. So I'm like, he helped me. But I was like, I was doing the things. But you know what I wasn't doing? It's connecting energetically. I wasn't doing the emotional piece. And that's what it took me 20 years to figure that out. It's like, I was doing the check marks. I was doing the stuff. I was like, here's my to-do list every day. I'm going to do my eyeball, you know, I'm going to do my eyeballs. I'm going to do my, get sun in my eyes. I'm going to do my grounding. I'm going to do my hydrotherapy. You know, I've been doing this stuff for a long time and, you know, taking my supplements and all that type of stuff, but I still have pain. I would wake up in pain. I touch my feet on the floor and I'm like, is today gonna be a good day? I don't know. And I get the tingles that shoot up my feet and I'm like, okay. And you know, when you're in pain, you know, that's all you're thinking about. That's it. You're just thinking about the pain because it sucks. It straight up sucks. Like, who wants to wake up and be like, oh my God, you know, you're in your 40s or 50s and you wake up, you're like, oh my God, my back's stiff or whatever. Like this weekend, it was a long weekend here in Canada and my husband was doing extra work around the cottage and, you know, doing stuff. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so stiff. And he's, 'cause he's moving his body in ways, you know, that he hasn't been doing at, you know, he doesn't do the functional stuff at the gym. He's lifting weights and he's staying healthy, but he's not moving his body in those same ways. It's like same thing. I went kayaking for like 2 hours. So my shoulders felt a little bit different, you know, so you're moving. But when you wake up, you're consumed by that pain and it's like, okay, what am I going to do? Right. But if we change that do word to be in this right here, that's where things shift. So the B is really about being aware of what emotions are showing up right now to protect me, what emotions are showing up right now. And like the energetic piece. So if you're somebody who's into chakras, you know, whatever energetic piece that you do to help connect to your higher power that connects with your energy vibration, fantastic. That's what you want. But it's really pausing and not, it's like, I don't have to do anything. I can just be, right? And it's just realizing like, how do I hold space for being in pain? And that's a hard one, straight up. I'm going to tell you right now, like someone that's, I'm like, I talk fast. I do things fast. I'm always, Dad, I think you can attest this. I've always been busy. I think you guys had me tested. I think Mom told me they had me tested, people. Mm-hmm. They thought I was just like, I didn't stop. I was always going. I didn't talk early or anything like that, but I was just always into stuff. Like that was me. I was just a busy kid. That's how I evolved my nervous system. So it's funny. So one of the questions I wanted to come back to, one of the questions that my dad asked in the seminar was, when we talk about phase one, it's all about the adrenals and the kidneys. So one of the questions that he asked his patients is, how old were you when you started walking? I'm like, I don't know. So right away he asked that. And I'm like, I text my mom, how old was I when I started walking? So that right there, it tells you so much. That was like a huge like aha moment for me, because it made me realize when I found out that if you walk before 7 months or after 13 months, that gives you a good indication that your adrenals are either
hyper or hypo.
They developed too quickly or they developed too slowly. So that gives you an indication. So I'm like, okay, well, obviously I walked early. If you didn't guess, I walked early. So, and a couple months early. So I was like, yes, I was that, you know, my parents were probably super proud of me. I walked early. I was go, go, go. And my parents were like, oh my God, why didn't they just like push me down? Cause just stop moving. Right. But it was cause my adrenals were they're hyperactive. So that right there, that first domino, now it explains so much why I had pus coming out of my eyes, why I had eczema, why I had chronic health issues in my 20s, because my adrenals were shot at the end of the day, right? And so yes, you can do all the protocols that, you know, you can call my dad, go to his clinic, he'll help you 100%. The key piece, if you are someone that you keep self-sabotaging yourself, or you're someone that's stuck, you know, struggling with this motivation, that key piece is really understanding the emotional piece and how can you just be with those emotions. And that, my friends, is the secret, but it's super hard. Right, Dad? It's super hard, because we're not taught, like we are not taught as a human species to sit. Because if we sit and feel, we die, right? That's what nature taught us. Like the reptilian brain, like reptiles don't even have feelings. They're just like, oh, you look good to eat. I'm going to eat you. Or I need to conserve my energy. I'm just going to sit in the sun here and get my energy up. And then when I have the energy, I'm going to eat you. Basically, right? Or I'm going to procreate. That's basically it. But then we had million brains. Then we started creating this nervous system and growing babies inside of us. Well, there's this energy and this emotional connection that is now happening. And so that's where this is like, okay, there's a key piece here of how can we feel safer sharing our emotions, okay, right? And start building this trust and this vulnerability. So that was a big piece of my healing is A, how can I start being more vulnerable? Because that's the big V word, like, oof, vulnerable. Nope, I'll let you see what I want you to see. But to me, to allow myself to be vulnerable around other people, very hard. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb. And I went on social media and just started dancing. I was like, oh my God, why am I doing this? Why am I moving my body in these ways? But it's because I like to move. I like to move my body, but I was hiding it. I was like, it's like a big beach ball. And I was just pushing it underwater because I didn't want to feel those feelings for so long. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let that beach ball up and I'm going to see what comes out. So let's go. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's where instead of just doing the check marks, you know, like show up to the appointment, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. What can you do to be in those? What can you do to be and like tune into those emotions is what, that's what I've learned so far. Anything you'd like to add to that, Dad?
To reiterate the aspect of, we don't want to create the impression that it's impossible. We don't want to create the impression that, you know, this is, there's a lot of discomfort necessarily with achieving this, because the speed with which you choose to make those changes, all we're asking or all we're recommending is that you have a willingness to try and improve your state of wellness, to try and have a better understanding of your so-called purposes, with the rest of your life. You know, why are we on this planet? What are you trying to impart to someone else who is also on this planet? You know, if we had a lot more congeniality, we obviously would be suffering from so many challenges that are presently happening in the world and in your neighborhood. You know, I had a very staggering statistic last week when they said in the United States, and I know the Canadians won't fly, but in the United States, you have a greater chance of being shot in an American city than if you were a civilian in the downtown brain that's in the middle of a war. It's a pretty staggering thought that the gun violence that our children are being exposed to, that we are being exposed to, is much more prevalent in a so-called very civilized country versus a war-torn country that has tremendous amounts of trauma that is associated with. You think of those children, what's going to happen to them when they, you know, grow up, start to procreate the life. What their offspring, what their grandchildren, what kinds of, because all these kinds of things are being imparted into their genetics. That's stuff, the transgenerational stuff that we'll be seeing for generations future on. But start with yourself, as Julie has said. It is a job, but I can guarantee you, and for the hundreds and hundreds of patients who I've guided through this thing for the last 25 years, they come out of this, you know, different people, as we say, but different in the aspect that their appreciation and understanding of, you know, why they think the way they do, why they respond the way they do. You know, every time you hear about some road rage or, you know, some mass murder, or, you know, as pretty much happens here in the United States, it seems almost on a daily basis somewhere in the country. You know, it's like, what's wrong with these people? Is it really just a mental illness kind of thing? And if you were going to go and study it in prisons, you could guarantee the reptilian brain, many of these people who are in prison, basically did not get a good start. And then by the time they got to the development of the mammalian brain, it's like they were already behind the eight ball, and that was their belief. That's what they were experiencing. And so, and now we say our children who are watching a cartoon and cartoons are still the most violent. The number of violent acts in a cartoon is the highest number of violence you will see in, per hour of any television show that's being produced, and that's what our children are being exposed to. And the idea that it's comedy and things, children don't have the ability to understand that it's real or not real. They just look at it and think everything's real. You tell them something, but, you know, that's why they speak the language that they do. If your children grew up in China, they'd be speaking Chinese, yet they could be your children. Or the children who've been adopted from China speak English because they've grown up around people who speak English. So everything that you were exposed to growing up gets imparted into that unconscious. So we're trying to just help people understand that, and hopefully they can impart it onto their family and friends and their grandchildren, and we change the next generations moving forward.
Bring up like the kids like today, war-torn countries and whatnot, but I mean, and there's a couple wars that, you know, my grandfather fought in a war, and, you know, my grandparents went through the Depression. So isn't it fair to say that, you know, many of us have this learned perception that our grandparents, because, you know, what they went through was not easy times. Like, right. Most of us had grandparents that survived the Great Depression, and they went without. And so, you know, like that whole famine and lots of stuff. So, you know, and the fact that we went through two wars, epigenetic wise, there's trauma there. But the thing is, like you're saying, there is hope, and there is an opportunity for you to heal, that you don't have to, you know, keep going down this path of feeling not good, dealing with chronic fatigue, because many of us are looking for, you go to a doctor and you just want to be heard, or you want to be seen, you know, either get a label or whatever, just like, I'm not alone. I have this condition. How can I move forward from here? Right. And at the end of the day, how can you move forward? That's what gives you hope. Right. And so what we're saying is that if you are self-sabotaging yourself with, you know, some poor coping mechanisms, or if you're somebody that motivation, there's hope. There's lots of opportunities for you to start healing. And it's not just, you know, you can start somewhere. You just got to start somewhere. If you have to do the, you know, if you're going to do the thing, right, start there. And that's great. And if you want to, you know, like if you've been doing the thing, and these are the people that I'm talking to, is if you've been doing the thing, and those are most of the clients that I see on a, you know, day-to-day basis, is that people who have been doing the work, they've been healing, and, you know, they want the next piece because they realize that, you know, like I've been seeing a therapist and I've been doing some of the things and applying it, and it's just, there's a missing piece. And a lot of times when they come to me, it's that missing piece is getting into the body. And so if you're somebody that wants to start healing, I highly recommend start getting into the body, right? Because the brain protocol, as my dad teaches in the seminar, is legit for everyone, but not everyone's ready. And that the idea is, like, what I do now, after taking a seminar, I now realize what my life's work is to help prepare you to do the brain protocol. Because with a naturopath, they're going to help you. Like, that's what you're teaching, Dad. You're teaching all the naturopaths to do it. But I'm not a naturopath, but I'm still someone that can teach you how to do it, because I have an understanding of what's happening in the nervous system. And once I, you know, go through it myself and understand, have a better understanding of the UNDA numbers and, you know, the, what do you want to call it? Not the medicine piece, I guess, the physiological piece, I guess, remedies. So, you know, once I have a better understanding of these remedies, then, like, I already have the energetic piece. It's what I teach everybody. It's what I teach you in the masterclass. And that's what I work on with all these clients. So what I realize now is that all we're trying to do, or all I'm doing, and when you're working with a coach, a life coach, you know, any kind of doctor, if you're working with somebody on healing, all you're really doing is preparing your terrain. You're preparing your nervous system. You're starting to put the pieces together, and that's really what it's about. And start somewhere. You know, if it's a matter of just figuring out what smell really makes you feel good. You know, like if you haven't done the sway test with candles, it's so much fun. My kids, I was in Walmart on the weekend and we were down the candle aisle and I taught it to my kids. So my son was like, Mom, let's find out if this candle's good for me. So he smells it, closes his eyes, and he sways forward. He's like, Mommy, it's good for me. Yay. He's like, can we buy it? And so it's just, when you understand that you can do this with food and you can do this with lots of different things, then, you know, that's how you can start shifting your nervous system and knowing, like, okay, this smell works for me, or this sound really resonates with me, or this texture really resonates with me. That's how you can start. It's really, there's so many options, almost. I feel that there's a lot of opportunity for you to start healing. And hopefully, you know, like if you're a person that you're feeling, you know, unmotivated and you're feeling like you're getting in your own way, you know what? Reach out. We're here to help. That's what we do for a living. Both of us, you know, my dad's doing it from a medical perspective. I'm doing it and an energetic perspective. Now to understand it, I have a little bit more on the energetic perspective and body perspective. And so what we're doing is getting your landscape ready, your terrain ready to be able to do the brain protocol. That's cool.
Yay.
That's essentially, I think, what we're all here for, because we had parents and grandparents in the war and then the Great Depression, right? And then our kids are, you know, dealing with all this violence. One question I did have for you though, Dad, is how do you know you're healing?
I would say the subjective markers, you know, an individual will say that they're doing better is when you start looking at the quality of your sleep, the quantity of your sleep, how your energy is throughout the day, how well you do with choosing your specific diet and how the foods that you choose to make you feel, how your body feels when you move on a regular basis, what does your skin look like? Are you reaching for Botox? Are you reaching for Restylane? Are you trying to get rid of wrinkles? Are you so-called aging gracefully and your collagen isn't suddenly all disappearing because, you know, you're 60 or 70 or 80 years of age? There is a natural aging process that goes with that. And not only on the physical level, but also on the mental, emotional level, on the idea of cognition, mild cognitive decline, if you like. What is your memory still doing? Are you still feeling that you can, you know, do mathematic calculations in your head? Are you picking out a calculator because you don't remember what, 9 times 7 is? Oh, what's that number again? Oh, 63. It's like, oh, I thought I need the calculator for that. So it's everyday life. Or do you go, you know, how often do you walk in the other room and say, what am I here for? Like, how come I came in here? Oh, so you walk out and you walk back. Oh, yeah, I was looking for my keys or something, per se. I mean, how often do those? And it's not unusual that those events happen. It's the frequency with which those events happen that gives you a sense of, you know, where are you at on an everyday basis? And probably the biggest aspect, what is the joy in your life? Do you get up every day and say, oh, man, what a wonderful time to be alive in this world. What a wonderful opportunity I have to share a thought or an idea, or help somebody, you know, help your neighbor, or, you know, open the door for somebody when you're going into the bank or a grocery store. You know, it's like, and you feel good about yourself, you feel good about helping other people in the world. You know that your overall level of health is absolutely moving in the right direction. We are not insinuating that somebody's going to live to 100 years old. What we are suggesting is you can live to whatever age with very high quality of life. You know, unfortunately, I deal with children with cancer, but they can have an incredibly fulfilled life even if they happen to pass away when they're 5 or 6 years of age, because of what they've been able to fulfill and bring to their parents and grandparents, even at that young age. So the glass half full, we previously talked about, is really an important component of thinking about your day-to-day life. And yeah, you're always going to have challenges, but you know, that's okay, because that's part of life too. But you know, if somebody cuts you off when you're driving, instead of raising a finger or your voice, say, I guess you have to get there quicker than I do. Not that important to me. It's like, go for it if that's really important to you. So, you know, just take every day for what it is. Enjoy the fact that you woke up in the morning, because the alternative was not very good.
Awesome. That's a great answer. The reason I asked the question is because I was just had a client before we started recording this, and we were talking about, how do you know? She asked me, how do you know you're healing? So my answer was that your body starts telling you things like, you thing you mentioned was sleep. So something that happens that you've talked about it before is that you start getting more dreams. You start dreaming more. And so the sign that you're moving out of protection to connection, and you're connecting with parts of your body that have been vaulted and locked up. And so that's a sign that you're like, oh, you know, you get like, so for me, part of my healing, I don't know if I've talked about it before, but this is when I realized I'm one of those people that I didn't know something happened to me when I was a child. And I started getting dreams. And I remember asking my dad, I'm like, did this place exist? Because I thought I saw it in a dream, but I'm like, I remember this white house and there's a field and the, anyway. So I'm like, did I make this up? Or is this actually like, I kept seeing it in this dream. And then I asked my dad, and he's like, ask your mom. She'll remember. So anyway, but the thing is, like, you start dreaming more. So that was one of the things we talked about with my client. And the other thing too is that signs that you're healing is your autonomic responses. So things like for her, her feet, kind of her toes wiggle, and sometimes when she's just sitting there, her leg will just start twitching, and or her eye just starts twitching out of nowhere, and that type of stuff. Things like that are automatic in your body. Things like yawning. Right, yawns are a fantastic opportunity. Like that's a parasympathetic snack if I ever saw one. Yawning is a great sign. You're like, people are like, oh, you must be tired. No, that's just me shifting into a state of safety. Yay, hello parasympathetic, how you doing? That's where I start having these conversations. Yawning, gurgling in the belly, gas, maybe, you know, some type of burping or whatever. If you haven't eaten, mind you, this is away from food, you know, these type of things, like bodily sensations that come out, that's energy moving out of your body. So those are signs that you're healing as well. So if you're going to go from like a body approach, you know, things are going to start moving. And so that's something too that you talk about, Dad, is that skin is a really good indicator. Like your skin really tells you what's going on in your entire internal environment. So if you're like starting to heal and like you're starting to get these rashes, don't put ointment on it. Don't do that, because you're just going to push it back in. That's your body getting rid of it. Like, yay, we celebrate that stuff. It might hurt, it'd be irritating for a minute, but that's your body getting rid of it. And we celebrate that. We're like, yay. So that's when my dad talks about, go have fun. We're going to celebrate those things. We're going to go walk barefoot in the grass and have a little dance party and, you know, play some music, because our bodies are doing something in the direction that we want. So yay. So that's what I just want to add on to those. Anyway, this is getting long. Dad, do you have any other parting thoughts about self-sabotage and feeling unmotivated?
I'm just going to do the commercial again. So once again, to reiterate, if you really would like to delve into this more deeply, is first of all, is to read the book that I wrote on that, on trauma itself, available on the website. And then also, if you want to listen to the entire seminar, that also is available on the website. And I really do believe that people who were, first of all, attended the conference, and I've had lots of feedback from it, from people already, when you start to reframe how you think about yourself, how you think about your health, how you think about lack of motivation, you know, lack of inspiration, you hopefully, by both the combination of the book, talking to Julie, being in her masterclass, or you know, listening to the seminar, it'll give you a different perspective of life. It'll give you a different perspective for the years ahead of the things that you can do for yourself. And not only will it impact you, it will obviously impact all those around you. And that's really what this is about. This isn't about just self-care. This is about self-care that will reach out to family and friends and your community around you, which makes the whole world a better place to live.
It's about learning how to be, like, you hear all the time, everybody's like, be kind, just be kind. And we have to be reminded of it, because it's hard, right? So what you're doing is you're gonna learn how to befriend and be kind to your nervous system. And that's gonna have a ripple effect that's gonna change the world. That's what we're here for, right, Dan?
Right.
We're connecting with the Toms, and you're gonna change the world. We're gonna cause a ripple in this world. Amazing, awesome. So we hope that you found this helpful, and please share it with your family and friends, because this is something that can literally change your life for the better. I've had a few people have sent me some ideas for podcasts. Dad, what's your take on diving into how relationships impact your health? We haven't talked about that yet.
Absolutely. Well, you know, just as a comment, we know that people who are single, unfortunately, don't live as long as people who are in a relationship, and there's a reason for that. So obviously, you know, the statistics already tell us that having somebody that you can confide in and, you know, special to you is an important part of everything we've just been talking about today. But obviously, it is an important perspective moving forward also. And So, and there'll be people who, you know, listen and will listen to the podcast and say, well, what if you don't have a partner? But obviously we all have solutions. We'll have suggestions that it doesn't mean you're alone. You know, we're not hurt. We don't have to be a hermit in this world. There are other ways of connecting with people, even if it's not somebody, a partnership that you're sort of living with at the time.
Absolutely. Because some people are choosing to be single because they realize, you know, like when we talk about attachment theories and all that kind of stuff, some people want to heal themselves because they realize that they need to heal themselves first before they get into a relationship. So we're going to dive into that next time. That's a fun topic because relationships is a big piece of this healing puzzle. So thank you again for listening. We appreciate your support and we'll talk to you next time.
Have a good day, everybody. We'll talk soon.
We want to remind you that knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power, where knowledge turns to experience. We encourage you to implement the information shared, allowing you to shift your energy from head to heart.
If this is your first time listening, we would love for you to subscribe to connect and grow with us in the coming weeks.
If you'd like what you've been hearing today, we encourage you to go wherever you're listening to leave a review. Tell us what you loved about the episode, tell us which one was your favorite, and share topics you would like us to talk about.
And if you're interested in learning more about biological medicine, go to my website, drdixontom.com.
And if you'd like to learn more about how to shift your nervous system and heal using movement, I encourage you to visit fitamize.ca to learn more. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you on the next episode.